It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast. Here we are again. The working week is racing by once again. And of course, we're bringing you the very latest in property news every morning, 7 days a week. And you find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Yes, it is the 7th day today of March, a Thursday. So let's right now go to Perth. I want to catch up with Matthew Hughes, the founder and managing director of Capital Property Advisory, because as we wake up back into the grind this morning, he's got some bragging rights because he's got back from his holiday in Thailand. And good morning, Matthew. How was it?
It was fantastic, mate. Thank you. It was the wife's 40th, as we discussed in our last chat. We had about 20 friends join us over there and everyone had an amazing time, including our kids. So it was a good little break. But it's tough to take a break at the moment with how busy things are here at the moment. So I've come back to an absolute mountain of work, which is not ideal, but the break was definitely something that's helped me reset for the start of the year.
You know, I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago. It was talking about people looking at the likes of Thailand, Vietnam, etc., because the cost of living, some people, this is the millennials, I guess, they're looking at actually bailing country and going to a cheaper country to live in, which is pretty interesting because you would have had firsthand knowledge of that on your holiday in terms of just how cheap it is.
Yeah, but not so much, I guess, when you go to a resort over there. You find the prices are pretty similar to Australia, maybe a little bit cheaper. But certainly, if you did want to relocate over there, you can live on far less income than what you would be able to in Australia, especially at the moment. So there's certainly some merit to that for the youngsters or the retirees.
Yes, well, you're not leaving Perth anytime soon, so we better have a look at Perth Capital. Now, that continues to outpace the rest of Australia, posting a 1.8% increase in home values in January and an 18% rise in the past 12 months. So do you see that pace is likely to continue throughout 2024? What do you think?
Yeah, I can't see anything else happening. Our rate of growth tripled that of the nation in February, and our median price has moved up to a new record again of $687,000 or thereabouts. And the median house price is still only down at $765,000. So despite the record growth, we're still the second most affordable state capital nationally, and we're well below the national median house price, which speaks to the value that still exists in our market if you're a home buyer or an investor. And we have seen a recent uptick in some vacant land sales and dwelling approvals, but it's still just a drop in the ocean compared to what's required to bring balance back to the market. So I would anticipate we're going to see some continued upward pressure and some strong growth throughout this year and into next year.
Yeah, that whole balanced market, that is a talking point of last year, and I can see that that's likely to continue this year. Now, talking of stock levels, where are they currently, and what are you seeing in the leading indicators in relation to bringing some much-needed housing stock into the market?
Look, unfortunately, stock levels haven't even rebounded to the pre-Christmas levels like I'd hoped. So we're still languishing below 4,000 properties on market. And only about half of those are houses, I think about 2,100. So the recent improvement in dwelling approvals and the reports from builders that I'm talking to that the appetite for construction is slowly returning, they're both welcome pieces of news, but it's a small improvement off a very low base. So we're still only building at a rate about half of what we need to meet current demand. So reprieve for frustrated buyers and buyers agents like us is still a long way off, unfortunately.
Yeah, lots of frustration towards the end of last year. So I think that is likely to continue in the first two quarters of this year at least. That is Matthew. He is recently back from Thailand. He is refreshed, ready to go. We'll come back after this and talk more about the Perth property market.
From the emotion of property, the economic inflation, managing your expectations, lack of stock, price growth, construction appetite, days on market. Stay informed with us and know your property.
Well, since we are talking about Perth this morning, the house prices in most Perth suburbs, now they have surged over the past 5 years, with Cottesloe leading the pack with a staggering 50% increase to a $3 million median price. Beachside areas like Swanburn, Sorrento and Mullaloo also witnessed substantial growth. And if you look at some of the blue chip suburbs near beaches, they recorded some of the strongest growth in Perth in the past 5 years. Coolangap jumped 43.9% to a median of 410,000. And Golden Bay, we were talking about that last week, that increased 41.9% to 467,000, as reported by Domain. And Perth's overall median house price has risen from just over 547K since December of 2018 to over $742,000 today.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
And it is a Real Estate Thursday right around Australia as we talk plenty property news, real estate in your local area. And we are in Perth this morning talking to Matthew Hughes. Matthew, I want to talk about the construction industry because all sorts of different issues that you've had in WA. What do you think is likely to happen as the appetite for construction returns?
Look, it's probably hard to say at this stage. I guess on one hand, we definitely need more stock, as we know, but I do wonder how the building industry is going to cope with increased demand. There's a lot of historical state and federal government grant jobs that are still being finished off at the moment, but construction workers are still in short supply. So I'm concerned that with the impending increase in demand, it might push us back to where we were in recent years with timeframes to build blowing out again and demand then decreasing again as a result. So I guess for context, I'm finishing a couple of my own developments at the moment. One of them is 4 townhouses, one of them is 6. And it's taken the better part of 4 years to build these from acquisition through to completion, which is happening in the next month. So we're very glad to be seeing the back of these. It's been a tough time. And whilst I think there might be a small window in the coming sort of 6 to 12 months where appetite is still quite low, I am concerned that when that appetite kicks up, it's going to recreate some of those issues that we've had over the last few years, because we're still not prepared as a workforce to meet the demand that's out there currently, or the demand if it does start to improve in terms of the appetite. Conversely, at the moment, look, I'm talking to our builder about we're building our family home at the moment, and he's telling me with confidence that he can build it in 15 months from slab, which is music to my ears, and it remains to be seen whether or not that will materialise. Demand kicks up. I wonder what it's going to do to those timeframes, and then are we going to be looking at another 24 months to build a double-storey home, in which case most people are not going to be interested.
Now, when you talk about 4 years to get those townhouses up and finished, does that kind of talk to what some of the issues around consenting and that whole process?
It's mostly to do with initially material shortages, which is not completely resolved, but it's certainly improved a lot. But just the demand for labour means that even builders like the ones that we're using, who have been around for 35 years and have strong trade relationships, are just struggling to put together a program where you can really put together anything that looks like an efficient program, because you have a builder booked, and then you typically book someone else on the back of that and someone else on the back of that. And then when someone doesn't show up or they can't supply the workers required, then you have to rebook the next person and you kick down the line again. So it's exponential in terms of the effect it has on the program. So it's been a massive problem for us. And I don't blame the builders. It's a problem for them too, obviously. But with the cost of money and the extra time it's taken, it's certainly diminished returns on the projects. But because we bought very well and we're selling into a strong market, we're still making money. It's just nowhere near what it could have been if we'd built them in the typical time frame.
Yeah. Okay. So sticking with the whole building process, most of the recent increase in demand is from single residential builders, either home builders or investors. Is that the lay of the land?
I think so. Like, I don't have any data on this, but anecdotally from talking to a number of builders, that's my gut feeling, is that they're all very busy. They're all quoting, but it is mostly home builders. So they're looking at the market and saying, well, I'm either frustrated and I can't get into the established market, or it's moving at a rate where, I don't see value anymore. So therefore, I'm happy to pay a premium to get what I want and build a home. And they're not running numbers from a profitability perspective, so they can afford to overcapitalize a little bit to get what they want. Whereas developers are still not active in the market because we're all running the same numbers and nothing really stacks up. So to make anything stack up, you're having to build some optimism into the feasibility, and that's not a good starting point. If it's roughly breaking even now and you're banking on the market doing 10 or 15% growth throughout the program, you're really gambling in my view, and for that reason, we're not starting any new projects at the moment.
Okay, and I guess we should look at the Perth rental market, because I remember last year we were talking about, just in terms of the way the rental market is going around the country, and you were, I think you were doing a trek, you were in the bush somewhere, and you noticed some young women, and you thought and you made some commentary at the time that maybe they were not just sort of camping out for the night, but it was permanent accommodation. So what's happening with the rental market at the moment?
Good memory, first of all. We were out camping with the family, and I saw more than one single female who seemed to be, I'm not sure whether they were camping or whether they were just living there, which is quite unfortunate. And back then, which is around that time last year, our vacancy rate was 0.7%. And as of today, it sits at 0.7%. And as you know, a balanced market here is about 3 to 3.5%. So we're chronically undersupplied on that side as well. And any new housing stock that has been coming to market has been quickly soaked up by our nation-leading population growth. So it's creating a difficult situation for anyone who's seeking a rental property, which is really unfortunate for the vulnerable population. But the silver lining here for investors is if you're already in the market or if you're looking to buy soon, you're getting nation-leading growth as well as historically high yields on your investment, which is a bit of a unicorn scenario.
Yeah, and just quickly, in terms of those investors coming out of Sydney, what's been happening since the new year?
Our inquiry rates are still through the roof. It is still, there's more locals than what we had last year, so they seem to be coming out of the woodwork, but we're probably still at about 60, 70% of what we're doing in terms of acquisitions for investors specifically is coming from the East Coast, predominantly Sydney, but we're starting to see a little bit more out of Melbourne and Brisbane.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Matthew. I know it's going to be a very big struggle for you today. Back on deck after the Thailand holiday. Happy birthday to the wife too, celebrating 40 years. And look forward to chatting in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks very much, Craig.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
Plenty of economists are saying, yeah, we can't see that there's going to be any more rate rises. There is only going to be cuts in 2024.
There's an opportunity, I think, in terms of fortune favours the brave. And at the moment, the next few months is going to be, I think, a reasonably good time to get into the market. And each cycle that I've seen is that when you start to then enter into a rate-cutting environment, confidence abounds. And vendors make a decision to list properties. Investors and purchasers make decisions to acquire. We've got this fundamentally broken supply side of the economy. And if rates do come off, and depending on to what degree, but it might be a return to that sort of 5 to 7% rates of growth, across broader markets.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.